Well, the album came about because my influences have been everything from sort of the 60s with the Beatles, Elvis, into the Beach Boys, and 70s also the Bee Gees up until today. Also the 80s with Boy George, and I, you know, love Bruno Mars. So I've got this whole spectrum of influences that I like. So when I was making the album, I found that when I was writing sort of, there's a track called Learner for Your Love that sounds a bit 60-ish, like a Beatle record. And then I've got a track called Heartbreaker that sounds Motown. So I thought, well, you know, it's going into these eras. And then I was lucky enough to do, I thought, oh, there's an 80s track we were working on. And it's called King of Kings. And the nice thing about that is Boy George and Rob Davis, who wrote Can't Get You Out of My Head for Kylie Minogue, they had the track, said, oh, this is a great track for you. So that was great as well. So I thought, oh, this is, gives us a nice sort of 80s Boy George, George Michael feel, you know. So there's that. So then, you know, then there's other things that I wrote on the album. So when I was looking through the album, I thought, you know, the whole album fits into one, but it's got like all eras. So I thought I'd call it Rewind, as if I'm rewinding back, but it's like to now and then. So
it must be nice when someone like Boy George says, I've got a song for you.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. It was unbelievable because it all started where, like I said, I was working with Rob Davis anyway, and he sparked it off and then spoke to George, and then it went off like that. And then when I got to meet George, and he heard the finished version, which was fantastic, and we'd done also an acoustic mix of it too, and he said, oh, I just really love it. And then what happened was, on the EP was even better. Literally a few days later, he gets contact with me and says, oh, Mauro, I love it so much the way it's come out. I've done dance versions of it, club versions, because he was also, you know, he does club mixes and stuff. So on the EP, it was fantastic. There's also a couple of Boy George mixes with a guy called Kinky Roland. So there's, you know, nice little club mixes there. So that was really good fun. Yeah.
So how did you bring all those decades together? Because as you said, you know, you start off with 60s influence right up to now.
Yeah.
That's a lot of music.
It is. I tell you, I think it came naturally in a way because I wasn't thinking about it. Because I've been writing songs since I was like 12 or whatever. Mum gave me a guitar when I was a kid. And I was actually started by listening to like the Beatles and Presley at first, because that was in my mum's record collection. And that was my first, oh, you know. So from a performance point of view, I just loved what Elvis was doing from that. And with the Beatles, the writing and the whole energy. So I was like playing around like that, you know, as a kid, and making songs in that genre. And then, like I said, I went on to everything else. So what happened with this is that when I was writing it, I just felt, I'm just going to write what I feel rather than write, oh, this is up to date or this isn't or whatever, you know. So it just actually happened naturally. So one song I thought, oh God, that sounds like something, a Beatley thing, you know. And then again, I love Motown, and I thought, oh God, this song Heartbreaker would sound good as a Motown feel, because it felt like a Motown record, you know. And that's how it came about. It was more of a natural thing, you know.
And how do you go about the writing process?
It starts with a guitar, and I've got an idea. So either a title will come in my head, or a vibe, or something that I feel, oh, I feel like either in a romantic mood for a ballad, or I feel like a fun mood. So it starts with a sort of something in my head, a melody in my head, and I pick up the guitar and I start putting this melody in my head to some chords. And then, but there has been a few occasions, I mean, there's a song on the album, a beautiful ballad called Lately. And that was, again, that was a middle of a night thing. I just woke up, couldn't sleep. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just kept having this melody in my head about, you know, sort of lately. And then I literally wrote the track within, I don't know, half hour. I had the whole song. But again, it was, I just woke up with it, with this thing, you know. So and that's like, again, it's like a nice ballad on the record. Yeah. The whole album is original songs, but I thought I need to put a bonus track on there, a cover. And the reason, I go back to, when I was 6 years old, and my mum gave me the 40 greatest hits of Elvis Presley, and that got me into music, because I wasn't playing with toys. I just started playing this record over and over again. That was my toy. And what stood out there, I always liked Fever for when I was a kid. And then I was with Kate, and I thought, oh, I need to do a cover. And I thought, you know what, I've always liked this Fever record, you know, that Elvis done. And also, it'd never been done as a duet with a girl and a boy type thing. So I thought, why don't we do something different, and put a bit of blues in it as well, because the original was just literally clicks. and a bass. And I thought, let's just do something different with it, but keeping that feel. And I just want to have fun with it, see how it comes out. But then we got into it and it was so much fun that when we ended up making it as a record, we thought, let's give it a go. And then it ended up being a record. And I thought, great, it's got to go on as a bonus track on the album, you know.
When there's songs that you love so much by artists that you really admire, is the temptation there to keep it as close to the original as possible? Or do you feel quite free to do what you want with it?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, like when I look at other covers, I like to change them and everything. But with Fever, the original feel was just so good, the actual tempo with the clicks and the bass, that I thought you can't really mess that up. You can't go anywhere else with that song. So the temptation now was thinking of doing something different, but I thought, no, let's keep the original feel because it's so cool. And that was it. But what, like I say, what we did add, though, is a bit of spice with lovely blues guitars and then massive drums on, which... on a few of the original covers that have even been done of Fever, they're still quite, you know, but I've made, there's quite dynamics on this one.
And obviously you've got Kate Robbins on it.
Yeah.
How did that collaboration come about?
Oh, that was great. Well, that came about, I was at the BBC a few years ago and Kate was actually promoting one of her albums down there. And so basically I was invited to the launch of her album through a good friend of mine. And we started chatting then and we got on really well. And we said, oh, we got to collaborate someday. And that's how we met. And she's great because, like I say, her whole family are very talented. Her daughter, Emily Atack, is on In Between Us. And then her brother, Ted Robbins, is a comedian and he's in soaps and loads of other things. And literally the whole family and her sisters. And and then there's another added bonus, which is fun to talk about. She's got some great stories of Paul McCartney because that's cousins. To their family. So it's just the whole thing was fun and in the studio, you know, like great stories and stuff. And we, yeah, so that's how that came about. And we then, it was great that we, from that first meet, we said, oh, let's do it, let's get together. And then we did. We got a date in to make the song, you know.
And you decided that she'd be great for this particular track?
Totally, because her vibe is very much, she's into jazz and into that sort of genre of music. And lots of other styles, but I felt that Fever, it's not so much it's jazzy, but it had that style that suits her, you know. But she can sing anything anyway, because in her own, she also does voiceovers where she copies people and she's so funny. She's a comedian as well. But and she also had a, on a repertoire, she had a hit, I think it was in the 80s, number 3 record. So she had done that pop bit anyway when she was younger too. So she had done and she used to do voiceovers for some of the Spitting Image characters as well. So she's great fun. Yeah.
Oh, so when's the album out and when's the single out?
Okay, well, the single comes out from the album next week on the 1st. And the album's actually out there on iTunes, but it's going to start hitting in January. I haven't got the actual date yet, but it's got to start hitting shops and everything in a big way in January. But it's already there to download at the moment on iTunes as a build-up, yeah.